the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
And so it is movie time. Cara O'Doherty is with us this week. And let's start with a movie called Pressure, starring Andrew Scott. Let's hear a clip from the trailer.
Group Captain Dr. James Stagg, here at the express request of General Eisenhower.
Do we have a date yet for the invasion zone?
D-Day is in 61 hours from now. This is the largest seaborne invasion in history. Fate of the war, thousands of lives hinge on this. I need a forecast. Churchill tells me you're the best meteorologist in the country.
Get me the latest readings from every single base within 2,000 miles of Normandy. The invasion is confirmed for Monday.
Oh, they won't like this.
We are faced with a succession of two aggressive storms.
Are you absolutely certain?
D-Day will be calm and sunny.
I couldn't disagree with that more.
Cara O'Doherty, tell us, please, what this is about.
So as we heard there, Group Captain James Stagg, played by our own Andrew Lincoln, is...
Andrew Scott.
Andrew Lincoln, where did that come from? Holy God. Andrew Scott. This guy was a genius when it came to the weather, an absolute genius. And as they were getting closer to D-Day, they needed the weather conditions to be just right. The American side had Irvin Crick, played by Chris Messina, and his theory on the weather was based on old weather maps, old charts. He was also a bit of a charming yes man who kind of was just sort of saying, listen, Eisenhower, yeah, it's going to be fine. You're grand. Don't be worrying about it. There's some doubts there. So they bring in Stagg, and from the second he sets foot into the headquarters, he is saying, no, you're all wrong. Now, it becomes basically a debate about the weather, charting
maps.
But
that was important because that was very important to the tides.
Absolutely.
And everything else about the D-Day invasion.
Everything hinged on this. And in a way, it sounds like a film about the weather wouldn't be that interesting, but it really is. It's really gripping as the parts come together, as he has to stand in front of the top brass of the Allied nations and tell them why they can't go on this date. And they don't want to believe him. They're like, are you sure? Can you double check? And the problem is they're trying to keep D-Day a secret, but they have a huge amount of troops ready to move. So they have to move in this window. And this really interesting fight between the sides emerges. And he's a really interesting character. He was not a people person. And his determination is extraordinary. So he's just like, no. And that doesn't endear him to the American side either, because they want somebody who can kind of talk to them in a way that is a bit more charming, a bit more yes man as well. And he's just fighting this immense fight so that they will listen while everything is stacked against him. But there's the amazing woman, Kay Summersby. She's played by Kerry Condon, and Kay Summersby is this incredible woman from Cork who became Eisenhower's driver, his minder. And she had this incredible task of dealing with Eisenhower, who was notoriously angry and tempestuous. And she's trying to keep the peace between basically a room of bullheaded men. She also can see that Stagg is a little bit vulnerable, that there's something else going on there. So she gives him leeway and kind of communicates to Eisenhower and says, listen to this guy. So it's really fascinating story of these very smart men locked in a battle, how this woman is sort of in the middle saying, hang on now, lads, calm it down.
I thought there was another Irish
and
woman
who was central to what happened
in relation to the weather for D-Day.
Yes.
I thought rather than this guy, James Stagg, I thought the key person
was Maureen Sweeney. Now, I'm very nerdy.
From County Mayo.
And she was based in Valencia. That's where she was getting her readings. I'm very nerdy about...
in Kerry.
She was based in... Yeah.
Right.
I'm very nerdy about World War II history. So I was like, this woman better feature. She does. She's mentioned. So her information is absolutely instrumental. Stagg could not have done what he was doing without her word. But before they even got to listening to her, the Americans would have been gone already onto that beach. So he had this immense task of doing the fight first. He already had very good predictions, but her information that comes changes the game.
So she is credited.
She's not written out of history.
She's
not written. And I almost cheered at the press show. I did a little dance of joy for myself because, like I said, I'm very nerdy. I'm also really fascinated by the roles of women in war. So I was like, fair play to her. She has her moment.
Now, how accurate is this movie? Because I note that it's the same producer of The Darkest Hour, which was an Oscar winner for Gary Oldman playing Winston Churchill. And it's possibly my least favourite Gary Oldman movie. I thought it was appalling.
That relationship which they develop between Churchill and his secretary, and I can't think of who her name right now, that whole turned into some sort of saccharine, bizarre thing. So I agree.
Even the bit of an on the tube, which is one of the most ridiculous scenes ever. And Gary Oldman was, Gary Oldman does over the top at times, but he was wildly over the top in Churchill.
So there's no, the performances are great.
This one is good. This one is all right.
Brendan Fraser's Eisenhower is excellent. There is all of the different top for people who are nerdy. They very much recognise the war leaders from how they're performed. They're very well done. It's really tightly crafted. It's very compelling. And really something about the weather, you really wouldn't expect it to be so good. But it is. I have a lot of time for it. And Andrew Scott is just superb. I mean, he just gets better and better with everything he does.
Could it be an Oscar winner?
I think because of the type of film it is, I don't know if it will get on the radar in the way that it should do. But he certainly is good enough. I wonder if maybe the BAFTAs might take a bit more note of it. But he really, it's excellent. Very, very good. Go see it.
Have you had a chance to see Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger?
I have. And you know something? This is going to sound funny. I'm still actually quite emotional after seeing it. I did not expect to go and watch a documentary about Oasis, get choked up at different parts and walk away still feeling emotional.
Why is that?
It's very well done. It opens with a whistle stop view of their rise to fame and then their very dramatic fall. So we get that very quickly. The scene is set and then it skips 15 years later. And these two brothers, as we know, did not speak for 15 years. And in a way, it almost seems like it didn't bother them that much. They had become such big pains in each other's backsides that they were happy to be apart. But on day one in the rehearsal room, you've got Noel, he's prepped, he's ready. Liam comes in, doesn't talk to anybody, doesn't acknowledge his brother, narks on about something to do with drums, sings, and then walks away a couple hours later. And Noel is sort of standing there going, okay, grand. And over the next few days, Liam doesn't really say anything. He comes in, he gets the job done. And this goes on and on until they finally get to Cardiff for their first big gig. And they're about to go on stage. And at this point, they have started to talk a bit, but it's probably all show related stuff. They're about to go on stage and you can kind of see them sort of looking at each other. And it's Liam, not Noel, it's Liam who goes over and grabs his brother into sort of a half a hug. And there's this moment of this guy who's ignored him for 15 years, who fought with him. And you can just see he realizes that this is my brother and we're doing this. And then he grabs him by the arm and he pulls him on stage and he holds his arm up. So the two of them are arriving on stage. People go wild. But over the next few concerts, it moves from grabbing his arm and pulling him out to holding hands as they walk on stage. And then it gets to the point where there may be 5 minutes beforehand and they're out backstage and they're holding hands there together, moving on stage. And the hugs get more and they get closer and closer. And it is this really, it's quite a beautiful emotional thing to watch them rediscover their love for each other. And I was very moved by that. And they speak very well in it about how, I was about to say, can I swear on this? I can't really. But they both admit that they were, particularly Liam, was a feckin' Egypt back in the day and the things he said and how they're both older now and they're just sick and tired of the nonsense. And they still admit, particularly Liam, can be an absolute feckin' pain in everyone's bum. But it really, there's also though, when they realise just how much their music means to people, they're quite overwhelmed by that.
Let's hear a clip from the trailer.
One of the biggest moments of our lives, right? I feel like I'm exercising demons, getting it all out. The rage, just pure anger. I need to calm the f*** down. We all said that we didn't mean. That's the way it is when you miss people.
The songs are one thing, but I'd forgotten what he means to people. I certainly wasn't prepared for the intense outpouring. But don't look back. a sense of what it meant to people.
Got to try and ignite something, you know what I mean?
You've got a chance to change the narrative of the band. I heard you say
do the Croke Park concerts feature, and I don't want to reduce this in the way there's so many things like, you know, is the Irish stuff mentioned? But given that the Irish heritage is regarded as so important, does that feature?
It does indeed. So it follows them on the tour around the world, and in each country we meet fans. So the directors made a choice to talk to different fans and what Oasis has meant to them over the years. But they very much, the two focus, big focuses are Manchester and how that has raised them. But yes, they talk about how they are Irish and how Ireland has really has made them as much as Manchester did. So there is some great footage in Dublin and you see fans there, and they do talk about that and what Irish means to them.
So you don't have to be an Oasis fan to...
No, do you know what? I don't think so. They give enough in that Whistle Stop tour at the start to know the problems. And then the way they talk about it throughout. If you don't know them, I think it's a really lovely introduction to who they are. And fans, like regular fans will lap it up. Diehards will probably die in their seats for love of it. I mean, the concert scenes are fantastic. Really moving. Very surprised by it. Go see it.
Okay, one last movie. Everybody Digs Bill Evans, which I see is written by Mark O'Halloran. We haven't had Mark in here for a long time. He was very famous for having co-starring and co-writing Adam and Paul.
So absolutely, a book adapted by our lovely Mark. This film is set in New York and Florida, but entirely filmed in West Cork Studios, which is a fantastic coup for West Cork Studios. They're an up and coming studio. And you'd not know watching this now that this is New York. You don't see any, there's no hint of Cork in this film. I knew nothing about Bill Evans. I heard vaguely that he was a very famous jazz pianist and composer. So I went into this completely in the dark, and it's set in 1961. His band had an iconic album called Sunday at the Village Vanguard. I'm sure there's people horrified that I hadn't heard of this, but anyway, forgive me for that.
I've never heard of it myself, so don't worry about it.
Well, absolutely legendary. A few days after recording that album, Bill Evans, who's played by Ander Denison Lie, a Norwegian actor, his best friend and bandmate dies, and he's distraught. His brother, played by our own lovely Barry Ward, goes to visit him to, you know, see how's he doing, and realizes how bad he is. So he brings him home to his own apartment to his wife and daughter, and their plan is they're going to let him kind of rest, deal with his grief, and hopefully get back on his feet again. But he can't. He's a drug addict. The drugs are becoming too much. He's bringing them into the house, and they have a little girl in there. So the brother decides he needs to go and stay with the parents, played by Bill Pullman and Laurie Metcalf. So they pack him off to Florida there for him to detox and try and sort out his life. For anybody who doesn't know him, you won't learn much about his music, but you will learn about the consequences and the loss that can come with fame and genius. And it's an excellent piece. It's very much a chamber piece. Definitely worth seeing.
So this is three strong recommendations this week. Pressure, Everybody Digs Bill Evans, and Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger. Carol Doherty, thank you.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.